Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you live for this next episode of Fundamentally Mormon. You can, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We're going to be doing part two of the history of biblical manuscripts in Ogden Kraut's book, As It Is Translated Correctly. You can read that book for free online at ogdenkraut.com. Click on Read Ogden's Books on the main page, and then go scroll down to the first book, actually, in the list of many, many, many books that you can read for free online at any time for yourself. Let's see here. Okay. Kim, my wife, is also going to be on the air, which you will not be able to hear her on the Facebook Live, but she is on the air as well. So, hi, Kim.
Hi. How come I can't be heard on Facebook Live? Oh, because that's the video. Yep.
Yeah, so, like, I think that they could probably hear you a little bit. They might have to turn their volume up. Because I know, like, when I do the videos, like, and this will go on YouTube as well, I can actually hear when I start the show out and it says Blog Talk Radio, or it says, your show will start in 3, 2, 1, Blog Talk Radio. I can hear all that in the videos, so I know that they can hear you. It's just not very loud. So, but that's just the way it is. I don't know how to fix that. So it'll be in the podcast.
You have to put me on speakerphone or something like that.
I could do that, actually. Let me try that just for the, you know, experimenting, I guess, is what we're doing here. But I want to be able to be heard, too, so. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear.
Okay, let me see if I can turn it up. Oh, that's as far as it'll go. And, okay, so I'm reading off my phone as well as, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, it just beeped or I thought I heard it beep. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, that's not going to work. Okay, well, I'll just read it. And so basically, since Kim has started work, she leaves at 6:30 and she has to drive for 45 minutes. And hopefully she'll get to work on time. And, you know, at 7:30, my son is going to make sure the girls get up. And then it's a big pain in the butt. But we're going to.
You didn't tell me there was snow out here.
Oh, it snowed in the valley?
Yeah, there's snow on the ground.
Oh, well, I know there was snow up at Skyline up at Schofield last night. And, oh, as I was driving by the dam, lightning struck a tree probably about 100 yards from me and scared me half to death. But it was really cool because it cracked and banged really loud.
Yeah. Yeah, there was this awesome lightning storm also in the valley last night. On the way home, we were watching it. It was. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. It was just really awesome. It was all in probably a couple miles of radius, and it was kind of just staying there as if, like, God had it over a certain area for the duration of my drive. So it was like a half an hour just sitting there.
the Coal Hollow fire, I'm pretty sure, is not on fire anymore because – it was raining like mad last night. And then when I went around Dead Man's Turn and up over Spring Hill, up on the top, there was actually about an inch of white stuff, which I'm pretty sure was hell, but it may have been snow on the ground. And I didn't recognize that. At first I was like, the road looks different. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's snow. And then I was like, I looked at my watch and I was like, it's the 23rd of August. Why is there snow on the ground? But we were all worried that Schofield was going to, like, the fire was headed towards Schofield, and it's a big fire, and we're all worried about it. And then this massive rainstorm for the last 2 or 3 days is just, like, I'm pretty sure put the whole thing out. Of course, it might be trying to start new fires because there was a lot of lightning, like you said. Anyway, let's get into the history of biblical manuscripts.
Sorry, I just had one more thing that I wanted to add. So I know that it seems weird or strange that we would be sitting here and talking about weather while we're doing this, but the weather is actually, there are a lot of things in Scripture and Bible that talks about weather. It talks about what is going on. And so weather actually is a really important thing to talk about, especially when talking about Scripture, religion. That's what one of the main signs are for the last days. And so, yeah, I was just saying that. I wanted to say that. And also that we have been told that it is most likely because the last winter was really mild and the summer was ridiculously hot, that we will actually have a terrible winter this year. And it's ironic that he's saying August, the end of August, and we already have snow on the ground, because honestly, we didn't really have any at all last year. So just wanted
Which
to
is
say that. Okay, go ahead.
Because as a semi-truck driver who drives in the top of the mountains,
yeah.
I think the mine is like 7,500, and then the other portal that sometimes I have to drive up to is like 8,000 feet in elevation. I am really happy when there's no snow, because I hate snow, and I drive a semi-truck with 10 axles and 2 trailers and a tractor, and I hate driving in snow. I miss Florida.
To know what is going on in Florida. So any of our listeners, just wherever you are, Florida, Oregon, wherever anybody is, even if you're over in the Middle East, because we do have several that are over there, what is the weather like where you're at? What are the differences? I'm not native to your area, and it might seem normal to you, but for us, this is not normal. So if you wanted to comment,
all
of these videos.
Yeah, we have people that listen from Iraq and Iran and Pakistan and China. So I know Iran gets a little bit of snow sometimes, and Afghanistan's a cold mountain territory, but people can comment in the video if they want, or on the podcast at blogtalkradio.com/ what is it? Fundamentally Mormon, I think. Anyway, but we were as it is translated correctly, and we are working on chapter 2 of that, which is History of Biblical Manuscripts. So, yeah, and anybody can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. So, since this is the study time that my wife and I have together, since I hardly ever see her anymore, since I wake up and go to work, and then I come home and help her get ready for work, and then she leaves me all alone with the kids. this is pretty much the only time that we have to actually read together. So, and since I want to do the radio show, because I believe in, you know, putting these things out there, that's why we're doing this. So anyway, let me start, and I'll just read. So basically, I've got the text on my phone here, and I'm just reading it, because I don't actually have, like, we have a bunch of his books, those green ones behind me if you're watching the video. Those are all Ogden Kraut books, Enzyme to the Nations, Volume 2 through 6. We're missing Volume 1, and Volume 1 actually has this book in it. So, all right, so History of Biblical Manuscripts, Part 2 of Chapter 2 of As It Is Translated Correctly by Ogden Kraut. There are 3 sources from which we gather information pertaining to the Bible. Number 1, the manuscripts. Number 2, the versions of translations. And number 3, quotations from early Christian church writers. Most of the early church fathers were writers who lived near the end of the first century and later. The most important of those who wrote the New Testament were Justin Martyr, Tatian, Irenaeus, and Clement of Alexandria, all of whom lived in the second century.
In the 4th century, we have important writings of Eusebius of Caesarea, as well as Jerome. From these men and the many who followed, we have obtained thousands of valuable biblical manuscripts. However, they were all different because scribes and translators made modifications either by accident or on purpose with the intent to help clarify or correct. All manuscripts are not equal in value, and we're on page 19 if you're following along online. All manuscripts are not equal in value because they all differ. Thus, it requires a process of elimination of errors, verifying what has been principally agreed upon and attempting to interpret the meaning of what is written. In the year 384 AD, an authorized revision of the Gospels from Latin manuscripts was made by Jerome. It gradually took precedence and gained popularity and was copied and carried to various parts of the West. But as it was copied by different scribes, they produced an astounding set of various translations. Several attempts were made throughout the Middle Ages to purify Jerome's texts, but each of these recensions eventually resulted in further corruption. As a result, the over 8,000 extant volume mass reflect an erroneous cross-contamination of text types. See book Biblical Criticism, Historical, Literary, and Textual by Gordon Fee, page 140, in that book. So the confusing and intricate history of the Bible unfolds. The New Testament books have been handed down to us by means of thousands of copies. Although God inspired the New Testament writers, he did not miraculously guide the hand of the copyists. Textual or lower criticism seeks to counteract inevitable scribal errors and recover the true form of the text. Many mistakes in the manuscripts crept into the text unintentionally and are not difficult to detect. So basically what happened is when the scribes were writing, they would sometimes put notes in the margins, and then somebody would come along later and copy what somebody else copied, and then they would add the notes into the text as though it was there in the beginning. So, and they're not hard to detect, but sometimes, you know, sometimes things still even slip through now, so... All right, other textual modifications were made intentionally, usually by well-meaning scribes and those who did not stand out so clearly. How We Got the Bible by Neil Lightfoot, page 50. Here then is the basis from which we draw our conclusions that errors have indeed crept into our biblical translations, our Bible translations, hence the need for a clear and correct translation, which may actually be impossible to obtain. And then the next chapter is chapter 3, Translating and Revising Scripture. So did you have any comments about any of that?
No. It's hard to follow along. I guess I'm just going to have to get used to the role reversal because I personally, I learn better if I'm the one reading it. And I know sometimes people are like, you read too fast, you talk too fast, but it's just how I am. So my brain gets on a tangent really easily, and that's why I kind of am fast that way. I just focus on it. And so it's hard for me listening to it being read instead of reading it myself. So
yeah.
I don't know if anybody else is like that, but that's how I am.
If anybody's listened to the old radio show, The Kingdom of God or Nothing that we used to do, or even the newer show that we are doing now, Fundamentally Mormon, a lot of times Kim reads because she's a faster reader. And then I'm all like, hold on, I got to say something. And then I make lots of comments about whatever. But those are more the ones that I make tons of comments on are things about the gospel and interpretations and, you know, revelations I've had and those type of things. But with this book, it's basically just talking about history. So it's a little bit different because, for one, I'm not driving a semi-truck listening to you read to me.
Yeah.
You're driving the vehicle to work while I sit at the house and make videos and read to you. So, and we're not talking about like doctrine. We're talking about history and what's gone on with history. And I've read this book before, but I don't think you have. Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't read this before. I haven't heard it.
Yeah, so, and I've never done teaching about this or reading on this particular topic. So, like, if you don't know the history of these things, like, you wouldn't have a whole lot to comment on, you know, so. But, so.
I was thinking when you were saying, sorry, I was just going to say, I was thinking, well, while you were reading, because of my mind tangenting, a lot of things, so they did change script, a lot of people did, and originally, and my mind goes to, oh, why are people so deceptive? Why do they have to do that? Can't they just keep it original so that we can all know the truth? But they always want to insert their own input and their two feelings, you know, in. So it irritates me, to say the least. But I was thinking, as I was thinking that and getting all, it came into my mind that, okay, so maybe they were oblivious and didn't really know what they were talking about, but there are some people who were translating and reading who were inspired, you know, and they did write things in there and added things that was pertinent to the time they were in. So it's kind of like an updated timeline, well, okay, of how the people saw at that time or how this person
was, or the scriptorian. But then they would have to be considered prophets. And
yeah, but you would have
to individually
look at. Yeah, you would also have to look at, okay, where was this translation from? So it is more, it's time consuming, you know, because then you have to know even more history, like in between, you know. So what you would have to do is know, okay, where was this one translated? Where did this translation come from? What time was it being translated? When was it put together?
Well, that if you could know who it was that was translated, because like with the New International Version, like the two main guys that were in charge of that particular translation did not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. So anywhere where it refers to the deity of Jesus or Yeshua, like they just took things out of the scriptures, you know, so their motivation was to correct things because of their beliefs. And then you've got other things like with the Catholics and them adding things about how women should not speak in church and all of that and be subject unto their husbands. Well, part of that is correct, but actually in the earliest manuscripts, Paul doesn't even say those things. You know, they were added later on. So the earliest manuscripts that we have, it doesn't even have those things in it. And then there's other manuscripts where like they're just completely way far off of what was, you know, the earliest manuscripts, but they match other manuscripts because people copy things down after, you know, and it becomes doctrine, but it was never really meant to be in the scriptures at all. So why it's so important to get revelation for yourself and to study these things out.
Well,
and
also
not
yes, this is also a good sifting tool. So those who honestly and diligently are seeking truth can find it. It is in there. But if you just want somebody else to tell you, then that's where the error comes. You need to get revelation.
There's so many different people that have so many different versions of what they think the truth is. And is it any wonder why Yeshua or Jesus, as he's called by the Gentiles, said that the straight is the gate and narrow the way and few there be that find it? And I was thinking about this because it actually kind of depresses me a little bit, because I listen to the Jews, you know, Jews for Judaism, talking about scripture, and they're like, well, that doesn't mean that, and this doesn't mean that. And then I listen to, you know, a messianic rabbi or a preacher, a Christian preacher say, you know, oh, this means that, and that means this. And like, they all have their ideas of what the scriptures mean, but none of them, like, they can't all be correct, you know. And Peter said in the in one of his books, First or Second Peter, I can't remember, but he said, you know, scripture is not for private interpretation. And what I say is it's true. Scripture is not for the private interpretation of man. And right. The Bible does not interpret itself. You actually have to learn and come to an idea and get revelation. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you. And how does he do that? He does that by revelation. And this whole idea that there are no prophets anymore, well, there should be billions of prophets on the earth. If there's 7 billion people, because every one of us have the opportunity to receive revelation and direction from our Father in heaven. And he meets us where we're at. And he allows the free agency of, you know, so we can believe in false doctrine. But, like, if we really wanted to know the truth, we can put ourselves down and you know, put those things down which we were taught on the knee of our parents and study it out for ourselves and ask if principle, line upon line, precept upon precept, and ask the Father if what we believe is true. And what I've learned is when I ask something that's not true, the Holy Spirit withdraws from me and I'm left to the buffetings of Satan. What?
I'm sorry. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but I have to mute my phone. Yeah. Sorry.
It's just turn that thing down. Are you in Price right now?
No, I'm actually in Helper.
Oh, you're already there?
Almost.
Okay. Oh, I should have this set up before you leave in the morning. Then I should run in the house or after I give you a hug and a kiss and help you get out of the driveway. And,
yeah, thank
start
you.
The show so that, yeah, I tried to get you out of the house by 6:30, so.
I know. You're like, leave, get out of the house.
I'm like, oh, you're forgetting this. Oh, you're forgetting that. Go do this and go do that.
Yeah, and I'm like, I can't carry all this stuff. In fact, I'm
Yeah,
thinking,
and then this morning
oh.
She was like, she's like, I want to check the oil. And then she was like, had her head down in the engine. And I'm like, get out of there and go away. Because I was like trying, because it was like, it was after the time when she was supposed to leave. And she's like inspecting the engine for like, I don't even know what. Oh, it was.
I just have to make sure
fluid.
It works.
Like, you need windshield washer fluid, Kim. It's flipping raining out there. You're fine.
You got to be prepared. I'm just saying.
You should inspect that when you get home, not when you're trying to get out of the driveway and go to work.
Nah.
So that dog that was hanging out on the front porch last night is sitting across the street at the neighbor's house right now.
I wonder why. Where did it come from all of a sudden that it needs to stay there?
I don't know. It was really friendly. Oh, it only bites. My daughter is interrupting the radio show. She's got a big smile on her face. And the video, it only bites because it's playing with you. And it doesn't bite hard. So I think it's a puppy. It reminds me of a dog that's about a year old, year or two old. Yeah, he's a little munchkin, but... Olivia, it's fine.
Okay.
You need to go get
anyway,
something to eat, okay?
I'm almost right. There, so I'm going
right.
To have
to
get going.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, we only have 4 minutes left on this anyway. So, and we're done with the chapter, so I guess I'll just end it at that. But we'll try to get on the air every morning at 6:30. 6:30, 6:45, and do a reading where my wife will be driving to work because it's like the only time I can sit down with her. Because like when we're together, we're helping each other. Or like if it's
always
in the
helping
morning,
each other
like
get our
helping.
Lunches ready.
Yeah, so
like I come home and help you
work.
Get your lunch ready, and yeah, and then you come home
yeah,
and then you
I
help
come
me
home
get my
and
lunch
I'm
ready.
Like, here. Have some of my drink and go do this and go, like, you know, and I'm all like, I didn't eat some of this lunch, so you can have this lunch. And what else can we make you and whatever. Lydia, stop interrupting the radio show. Stop. I don't care about the dog. It doesn't matter. Go away. Anyway. Olivia is trying to tell me about the dog that's walking across the street. Like, I care about the dog. Anyway, all right, well, I guess I'll just end it at that. And we don't have any callers or whatever. So is there anything else that you want to say before we get off the air?
Nope.
Thank you for calling in. And thank you, everybody, for listening. You can find these episodes on Zion's Redemption Bookstore page on Facebook. I will post them there. I will also post them on my YouTube and on my Facebook. My YouTube is youtube.com/ God is my compass, or you can just search Messiah Ben Joseph. And my Facebook is facebook.com/ LAZURUS 1977. And we don't have a podcast for this yet, but we will be doing I'll probably start doing the thing next, uploading to podcasts on iTunes next month. But I don't have time to do it now. So anyway, but thank you for listening. Take care, everyone. God bless and love you, Kim. And I will talk to you all later. Bye.
Love you. Bye.